Hello there, fellow makers, both you watching at home after the fact and the prop tarts, which I didn't turn on the chat. And it's still not working. I'll fix it. There it is. Hey, there's the prop tarts. You've got Bill and Britt today for another wonderful episode of Prop Live here from our office. Trying to keep cool?
Yes, it is like 90 degrees in Seattle and it hasn't rained in weeks and all the grass has died.
Yeah.
So we don't know what to do. And also there's a fly in here.
You're driving me crazy all day.
Paige's phantom fly is real.
It's just all sorts of drama.
Anyway, we've been having a good time lately in the shop. I'm just fixing the chat there. Great. Today, we have a topic, and Brittany and I are going to talk about our experiences, being guests at conventions, like Comic-Con type conventions, usually. We're going to go through a bunch of stuff. We got the chat down there to hang out, and if you guys have any more insight or input as we go through this, please share it with us in the chat. We got the prop tarts whipped into a frenzy down in the chat. So, comic and game conventions, it's mostly what we have experience with.
There's conventions for everything.
Oh, yeah.
And this is just the conventions we've been guests at, which so far have been game and comic-related conventions.
Yes.
So, like, anime, cosplay...
steampunk.
The steampunk, movies and television stuff, like conventions focusing around that kind of thing.
Yeah. Or a specific subset of like geek culture. So there's we have BrickCon, which I still haven't made it to, but soon in Seattle, a Lego convention. Or I know there are furry specific conventions, or there's like a Star Trek convention or a Star Wars convention, Star Wars Celebration, which we went to for the first time last year. Lots of different conventions, both the grand, big Comic-Con ones and the more niche ones. The reason why they end up having guests, people like us on as a guest at their convention, is because they need people to show up and buy tickets.
Yeah, they need to sell tickets. That's one of the ways they make money.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
Ticket sales are the driving one, but also there will be like photo ops and stuff. The convention usually gets a cut of things like that.
Yeah, sponsorships. Mm-hmm. Exhibitors usually have a booth price.
Yep.
Especially for the bigger conventions, it's a really high price to have a booth to sell your wares.
Right, or the Artist Alley. There's a difference between the two. Usually Artist Alley is like a 6-foot booth. That's not 6 feet.
It's usually more
smaller.
Affordable, too. There's like at least a lot of this is going to kind of go back to Emerald City Comic Con, which is our local Seattle convention. It's our I guess it just, you could say it's more like a traditional Comic Con kind of thing, where it focuses on TV, movies, they have guest celebrities, and that's the one I think we've had the most experience with.
Mm-hmm. So some examples of some conventions where we've been guests. Emerald City Comic Con. Last year we did a whole bunch of them. We did one up in Canada, Northern Fan Con. We did one way down in Texas, South Texas Comic Con, and so on. There's a lot of different ones.
A lot of anime conventions.
Yeah,
Bill went overseas one time.
Right.
Twice. London and Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about specific conventions later, but that's kind of the gist of it. So as a guest or someone who's looking to become a guest, if that's something you... Well, first of all, why would you want to be a guest, right? There is a bit of... what's the word? It's a good boost to your credibility, right?
Yeah,
as
a
professional.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that you're in a position to sort of take advantage of the boost that's going to give to your credibility. If I'm a guest at a well-known convention, so for example, I was a judge at TwitchCon a couple of years ago. I was a judge for the costume contest. There are only 4 judges, and I was one of them. It was a big, like, the cosplay community was really talking about it. There was a huge prize pool. That's a really big shot in the arm for someone who gets to be a guest. For me, we have a business that we're building. We have a brand that we're building. And getting my face out in front of cameras, out in front of audiences, helps immeasurably to build the credibility of our company and my own personal credibility. That helps get more people to see my videos, more people to buy my books, and so on. So there's a really good upside to being a convention guest. You also get to you go there, depending on the arrangement, your flight and your hotels and your attendant, it's all paid for. So you get to go to like a convention essentially for free, but it's not really for free.
Yeah, and it really depends. Right. Sometimes, especially if it's a startup convention, they won't have much capital, won't have many sponsors. So they look for local guests. So they don't have to pay, you know, mm-hmm. hotel or travel fees.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened in quite a while, but I think we've been asked in the past to be a guest without any kind of
compensation. Yeah.
It was like, hey, if you're going to be here anyway, mm-hmm. we want to be a guest too. And that might be the case if you're already going to Emerald City, like maybe.
Yeah. So there are plenty of reasons to do it out of pocket. Local conventions, especially new, small, local conventions, are a great place to get your start.
Yeah.
You can offer and say, look, you know, you're going to stay at home. You're going to drive in every day. You don't need a hotel. You don't need flights. And you can just tell them, look, if you give me a booth, I'll do a few panels. I'll judge the costume contest. Have me on as a featured guest sort of thing. It doesn't cost them anything extra. They do have to give up what might have been a paid booth space, but if it's a new convention, they may have booth spaces still available, and it behooves them to have someone in those spots.
Yeah, especially someone that could bring some really cool displays.
Yeah, you've got, and if you're local, you can bring a bunch of your costumes with you. You don't have to worry about flying with all of those. That is an awesome place to start. So, for example, a couple of years ago, we did something called RustyCon, which was in a hotel near the Seattle airport, which is very close to where we live. So we didn't stay at the hotel. We stayed at home. It was like less than a 10-minute drive. We brought a bunch of stuff. We had a booth. I didn't get paid or anything. I just got a booth for free. I did a couple panels, and I judged a costume contest. And that was really great. There wasn't a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it was super laid back.
Yeah, really laid back. And
good way to get experience, too.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the huge part. But also, if you're trying to like move your way up in the world of conventions, you've got that on your resume now. You can, I would recommend on your website listing like, hey, here are all the conventions where I've been a guest. And it might take a couple of years to kind of build up that resume, but each one of them gives you a little bit of credibility towards being invited or flown to conventions elsewhere, especially like overseas. Because that's a huge ask. I did London Super Comic Con, and they paid for my flight, they paid for my hotel. I can't remember if I had a per diem or not. I think I did. And they gave me a booth. But the flight to London, not cheap. The hotel, they probably got a pretty good deal on it, but it was a really awesome hotel. But they're risking something. They're paying a couple $1,000 just to get me out there. For them, they're hoping that means that more people will buy tickets, and then I will also bring value in the form of judging the costume contest and doing a couple of panels.
Yeah, and the kind of guest we're talking about is more of a cosplay guest.
Right.
And that isn't necessarily the title Bill has had at conventions. I mean, you've been a cosplay guest
yep.
before. But other times you've been, what did they call you? Like a prop maker, I think, one
right.
time. So it's not always the same title, but they're all very similar.
Right.
It's where you show up and you have props and costumes that you'll display at your booth or you'll wear. And usually judging a costume contest is involved. And so this isn't like another kind of guest at conventions is like the celebrity guests. Like go to a Star Trek convention, they'll have Star Trek actors there and you can pay to have them sign a photo or and take a picture and all this stuff. This is separate from that.
Yeah, I mean, both cases people are they're trading some sort of compensation for mm-hmm. their time to be there. Just the celebrity guest thing is just more, they're just more world renowned.
Yeah, you're right, there's totally a lot of overlap because you can be a cosplay guest and have photos at your booth of pictures of your costumes and sell them. That's a really great way to have a low price point item at your booth. Yeah, it's like that's something you could do every weekend. And sure, that's the thing that celebrity guests tend to do, like these world-renowned ones. Every weekend they'll go. So they'll head out Thursday, get there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They work. Then they leave on Monday. So they work like 4 days out of the week, hopefully take a couple days off, and then go to the next convention. And like that's sounds exhausting, but that could be your living.
Yeah, especially if you have something to sell at your booth. We found one of the best ways to have value for us is if I'll give you an example. I was a guest at Emerald City Comic Con a couple of years ago. I think I did 4 panels. I judged the costume contest, and they gave me a booth, and they gave me an exhibitor booth, not an artist alley booth. So they gave me a big booth in a high traffic area, and we sold a lot of books. So if you have a product to sell, being a guest and getting your booth comped is a huge benefit. Huge benefit, because you're not paying for the booth. A lot of times artists who have paid their way to be there are just hoping that they can make enough money to make back what they spent on the booth. So a lot of times, if all you can get out of it is a free booth that, and you have stuff to sell, that could be enough to for it to be worth it for you to go. It's a trap is curious. Have you ever had any extreme curveballs thrown into your plans for judging a con? Yes.
Yes.
Let me give you an example. and this is something, we'll get into this a little bit further, but if you're going to be a judge at a costume contest, or if you're going to be a guest, make sure you have a solid list from them that they've signed off on of all of your responsibilities.
Yeah, it's pretty much a contract. Like, yeah. Sometimes they'll actually send you a real contract, but if they don't, you should draft one yourself.
Yes.
Because this is something we had to add to our list of requirements, which we'll also go over in a little bit.
Yeah.
But story time.
Story time. We did a convention, and the first day, the Friday that we were there, they were like, hey, here's time for the costume contest. We're like, cool. There were a ton of entrants, and they did the judging an hour before the actual presentation. Usually, if there's pre-judging, you do it in the morning, then you got time, and then the presentation is later. They did it right before. Would have been great if there was a few hours between them, so we had some wiggle room. But we did it. It worked out okay. We did the whole costume contest on Friday. And then Saturday came around, and they were like, are you ready for tonight's costume contest? And I was like, there's another one? There was a costume contest Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night. There were 3 of them. So from now on, if I ever do that, I make sure to say, I will judge 1 costume contest. judging a costume contest eats up a ton of time. And it's stressful. Like, it's a lot of work. It's very stressful. People are really counting on you.
Yeah, also, panels can eat up a lot of time.
Yeah.
They're super beneficial, especially with Bill. He just wants to teach people how to make props and costumes. So if they put him on a panel, he usually goes over his Beginner Guide to Cosplay book and is like, hey, if you want to learn more, come to my booth, and I have books there if you want to buy them. So panel, totally worth it. But I think it was when you were a guest at Emerald City Comic Con quite a few years ago, you were on, what, like 6 panels?
I was only on 4.
Really?
But it was a lot.
Yeah, it was...
4 was a lot. And I had the... So part of that also was, one, like, Saturday morning, I did the pre-judging. Mm-hmm. And then I think I had 2 panels that day. And then I had to do the stage performance for the costume contest. That kept me busy on Saturday, the busiest day of the convention, most of the day when I would have really liked to be at my booth trying to sell books.
Yeah, because the booth was very popular.
Yeah. You have to balance all of those things to make sure you're getting a good deal and the convention's getting a good deal. In that case, I felt like I committed too much to the convention for that day.
So I think now we say like one panel a day.
Right, not just like 3 total, but like 1 a day.
Because sometimes they'll cram them all in the morning on a Sunday or something.
And they'll be back to back to back.
Yeah.
And that means 3 or 4 hours of you not at your booth. Mm-hmm. Let's say you want to be a guest, right? Let's say you're going to approach a convention, a local convention, about you being a guest at their show. If they already have... It depends on like what type of guest you're going to be. So if you're an illustrator or an artist, see if they've already invited any other illustrators or artists. Same thing with cosplay guests. Sometimes they'll specifically have people who are cosplay guests. And if you kind of fit the bill for what of that for whatever that is, and they already have a history of inviting similar guests, you can say, I could be a cosplay guest like who you had last year. Very similar thing. They know what to expect. But you have to come up with a really good offer. You have to lay out what it is you can do for them and what you want from them so that all they have to do is say yes or no. You don't want whoever you're asking to have to figure it all out for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And usually the ideas you have are better than the ones that they would come up with. They might be using a template that isn't really custom to what you can provide. Like if there's something you specialize in, like you have really good costume displays, you could, you know, specifically call that out. Like Steve from SKS Props, his booth displays are gorgeous.
Yeah.
And all you'd have to do is send him like a picture of that kind of setup.
Right.
And it's like, yes, I want that there.
If you have a really good, if you've done booths before, if you have a really great setup, you could show them, hey, look, I'm a professional. This looks really good. This is what my booth will look like. Mm-hmm. Just be clear, though, on what you want out of it and what they get out of it. They may come back with a counter offer. You may say, I need flights and hotels and a booth. And they might say, we can get you a booth, but we can either pay for your hotel or pay for your flight.
That's actually pretty common.
That's a very common thing. And you have to decide if it's still worth it
to you. Yeah, because you might have a friend who lives in that area who you could stay with.
Yeah.
And then it would be like, oh, well, then I don't need a hotel.
Or you know,
have flights covered.
You might know someone else who's going to be at the convention and you could share a hotel room with them.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, just because a convention says we won't pay you for your hotel doesn't mean you can't go. Yeah. You can usually figure something out.
One of the things you usually present to the convention, too, is your social media numbers.
Yeah.
Which, a lot of it, it's like they're just numbers, but for a company who doesn't know you, that's important.
Yeah.
Like, personally, it's like,
If those numbers are impressive, though, it's an easy way for you to establish your credibility. If they aren't impressive, don't bother mentioning them.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Some other things you could ask for would be a day rate. We do whenever we do something because we are spending time away from our business and our workshop. And we are spending time at this convention working for them. Keep in mind, if you're there, you're working for them. You may have only a limited list of responsibilities, but those are things that you're doing to benefit the convention. You can ask for a day rate. I will say that's becoming more challenging for people to get in the cosplay scene unless you have a lot of clout. Just because there are a lot of people who are willing to be a guest completely for free.
Yeah, now's a good time to bring up Svetlana's article she wrote. The value of cosplay guests. It's over on KamuiCosplay.com.
Yeah, we'll link to this in the show notes.
Yeah.
I'll also copy and paste it into the chat. Boop, boop. There it is. A really great article going over Svetlana's experience as a guest. She's got a lot more experience. She's been a guest at more conventions than I have, so she has really good insight. So it's worth, I'm not going to read it all right now, but it's worth checking out.
Yeah, and she talks about the value that you bring to a convention and to not sell yourself short.
Right.
And how she now charges a day rate.
Yep.
And she's totally fine with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She can, though, because she's got a lot of clout. I can't impress enough how having some sort of credibility coming into this is super beneficial, and it's also the sort of thing that should help boost your credibility.
And yeah, if you think about it from the convention's point of view, they would love to have someone who's well known because that'll bring in ticket sales, it'll bring people to the convention who might not be there, but also like the idea that people going there have a good time, take pictures there, and post about it online is also really important. So if you show up in a costume and like that could be enough for the convention because they just want people to be excited and happy and to share it.
And if you got a really killer costume too, like that gets people excited. Paige just linked to this really great video by my friend David Picciuto. We'll also link this in the notes. How to price your work. He goes into talking about a day rate in this video. And again, we'll dump that in the notes.
That's figuring a good out, one too for like if you do commission work.
Yeah, we've exactly.
Brought this one up before.
But figuring out how much money you need to clear, not just like, not just gross profit, net profit, how much you need to clear at the end of the day to make it worth it for you. That's something that you need to figure out for yourself. If you think you can get a day rate.
Yeah. I mean, it could be like, especially if you're just starting out, you're doing a local convention, you just want practice. And it's like, it could totally be worth just having a, because it can be fun too, just having a fun weekend at the convention. If you don't have to buy your own ticket, hang out at a booth, you'll usually have booths around you that are similar, so that there's usually a cosplay alley if you're in the cosplay section. So we've met some really cool cosplayers that we didn't know by going to conventions that were also at booths, because you're there all day long, so you really get to know each other, and it's a good way to network, a good way to meet people, and also get advice too. Just see what the other booths are doing and chat with them a bunch.
I'm just adding a quick thing I wanted to talk about. Okay, so what was your first convention as a guest? I think the one in Idaho was the first one I did. Yeah.
It was also their first convention.
It was also their first convention.
And their last convention. That's something to consider with a new convention, is it could very well be their last.
Yeah.
And you have to be okay with that.
Right. Now, this... my experience at that convention was pretty lukewarm. They flew me out and they put me up and they gave me a booth. I think that was about it. But it was a short, it was just to Boise, which is Idaho, which is like an 8-hour drive. So a really short flight. I didn't have anything to sell. I just had a booth. I made a cosplay repair station at my booth. But I think I did two panels and I didn't even judge the costume contest. But I kind of got a taste for it. The big takeaway from that was, they're going to give me a booth. I need to have stuff to sell. Mm-hmm. I didn't sell anything. So the whole weekend was a net loss for me. Essentially, I could have been home making props or videos. But I learned a lot, and it didn't cost me anything out of pocket. I did lose a very nice flashlight.
But you discovered a really good pizza place.
I did. By the way, Boise, Idaho, there are, I believe, two locations. Guido's New York Pizzeria is fantastic.
Tastes like actual New York pizza.
If you're into New York pizza, which I am.
It's hard to find.
It was worth it. But I learned a lot. And the main thing I learned was, I need to make sure that I'm getting enough value out of this as they are. So the next time, I can't remember what the next one was, but the next time I did a convention, I had stuff to sell. Because every convention I've done, they're like, here's a booth. Like, that's their currency. Mm-hmm. They'll give you a booth, even if it's just an Artist Alley booth. Most conventions now have, like, a cosplayer booth section where all the cosplayers hang out.
The first convention I worked at with you was Emerald City Comic Con. And this was a couple years ago. This was before Reed Pop had it, bought the convention. Was it, like, 20-something? 20-something.
Which one was this?
Emerald City Comic Con, when you were a guest.
Oh.
It was quite a few years ago. It was when Foamsmith had just come out, the print book. And we had a whole bunch of copies of the book there, and they were selling really well.
Yeah.
And we had a really good time. It was like, that was before the convention really got its kind of booth setup figured out. So it was kind of crowded and hard to get to the booths. Also, when you have a cosplay booth, a bunch of cosplayers want to hang around your cosplay booth, but it just blocks everything. So there was definitely some growing pains for that convention. Since Reed Pop took it over, they got a really good layout. So now there's room, even though it's really packed. They took over more of the convention. But that was interesting. It was a lot of running around and figuring things out. I was
carrying books to and from our car.
Yeah, we were both in costume. And my favorite part of it was being in the Draugr costume and standing next to the booth to one side. And standing still, and with that costume, it has a helmet, so I can, like, close my eyes and nap, and no one would know. But people thought I was an actual statue, not a human. So they would come up and take a picture with me, and I would forget that. I wasn't trying to do it on purpose. And I would just turn to look at them, and one girl actually screamed in fright. She was very surprised I was real. So I just started waving at people constantly.
Hello, I'm real.
I'm real.
Don't be alarmed.
Yeah.
It's a trap as a question. He says, I noticed that nobody seems to ever sell props at cons. I've seen quite a few, although I've been to a lot of conventions.
I think even Harrison has sold some.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he has some that say not for sale, but I think he has some.
It really depends on the convention. So, for example, this weekend
RTX?
In Austin is RTX, and a bunch of our friends have a booth. What they did, and I think this is really, really smart, is they have a booth that a bunch of prop makers are sharing. So this is Kyle, our buddy from Cute Monster Props. Some things that he's selling at his booth there.
I love their labels, their price labels.
Yeah.
That's super cute.
It's really good.
Yeah, so it's a whole bunch of them that pay for this booth space.
Yeah, let me see if I can find another picture.
It's called like the Collaborative Initiative of something.
Here we go, the Prop based. Maker Coalition.
That's exactly what I
said. Yeah, which is a brilliant idea. I don't think any of these guys are guests. They put down their own money to get a big booth. But there's like five or six of these prop makers who got their booth together, and they're moving a bunch of props. Yeah, or hopefully so they're moving a bunch of props.
That's more of an exhibitor booth
right,
kind of thing.
Right.
So like you don't have to be a guest to get an exhibitor booth and sell things. Then you're just, you know, an exhibitor. And that's a different kind of badge that you have to get, and you have to pay for your booth. But if you're a cosplay guest, you can also sell props at your booth,
yeah,
which Steve does, SKS Props.
Sure, yeah.
He has his, usually has a couple masks, and he had his Wasteland Alice stuff, mm-hmm, and the last convention he was at that people could buy, like, the deck of cards and stuff.
Yeah. We've also run into situations where, I mean, since we know so many people who are also frequently guests at conventions, for example, we went down to Rose City Comic Con a couple years ago, and we had friends who had booths there, and because they were a guest, they were just given a booth. But our friend Ryan Wells, who is a wonderful human being, he had a booth, but he wasn't using it. And
yeah, he just wanted to walk around in costume.
Yep.
He was like, I don't need a booth.
Yeah, but they gave him one anyway, so he had an empty booth. And he was like, yo, you want to just use my booth? And we just drove down to Portland. We brought a bunch of books just in case. We threw them in the car. And we're like, oh, sure. So we set up shop and kind of hung out. And we weren't guests at all, but we were able to sell some books.
Yeah, that was fun because we would, like, hang out and chat with people. And then someone would walk by and do a double take and was like, you're here? Like,
yeah.
Surprise.
Yeah, we didn't tell anyone. I think it was, like, right after Dragon Con, too.
Yeah.
We, like, got home, loaded stuff in our car, and drove down to Portland.
One of the benefits about having a booth is you get to meet people who, it could be their very first convention, and people would tell that to me too. They were always very excited when it was their first convention, be like all wide-eyed and excited. People who have never even considered they could make things, like make costumes and stuff. So like they would approach our booth, see a prop, pick it up, not realize it was made out of foam, be like, wow, that's light and really cool. And we're like, you know, you can learn how to make that. And they're like, what?
Yep.
And so it's a very small way to transform people into makers, one person at a time, but that's kind of how it spreads.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I really appreciate our YouTube channel because we can reach a bigger audience, but it's like getting those people who wouldn't even think to search for that on YouTube, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So that's really cool.
There's a lot of benefit to having a booth, but sometimes you may not need it.
Yeah.
Just know that that's basically the bargaining chip that most conventions have. This is how they can give you a lot of value.
Yeah, Ryan Wells was an exception because his value he brings to convention is a larger-than-life costume that he's trapped inside of, and he wanders around the convention and gets his picture taken with people. So, like, having him in a booth would be, like, a detriment. So, and then you don't want an empty booth just sitting there at your convention
because
it looks like someone didn't show up or that they didn't sell all their booth spaces or something.
The other thing we could dive into, we could have a whole topic on this or a whole podcast on this, and maybe we will, is judging a costume contest.
Yeah, we should definitely do that as a topic later, but we can lightly go over it now.
So a couple of pointers. To be credible as a cosplay judge, you need to have judged a cosplay contest. That's really what it boils down to. Being what most people would consider a technically proficient costume maker is like step one. You have to have a portfolio that shows that you know what you're doing. But also just having some credibility going into it will, you know, if you tell someone, I'll judge your costume contest, and they're like, but you're not a good costume maker, it doesn't bring them a lot of value.
You said you have to be a judge. You mean you have to have been judged? Is that what you meant?
Well, you can if you win a costume contest, that means you're good at making contest.
I was like, how do you get started? Like, you've never been a judge before.
If you've already been a judge, that helps. That says that someone else has trusted you mm-hmm. with the potentially big responsibility of handing out a large sum of money to another costume person. And that's what it boils down to. If you're the judge, they are banking on your credibility. Because if someone's like, I don't think that person should have won, they can say, look, we have a talented batch of judges who know what they're doing, and we trust them completely. If you've never judged a costume contest before, again, if you're getting in used to or getting into the local scene, if you have a convention that doesn't have a scene, you could be the person that organizes that event. Mm-hmm. And if you do a good job at it, then that's a really big batch of credibility for you leading into the next thing you're going to try and make happen.
Yeah, a lot of cosplay convention judges tend to also be cosplayers who have had a lot of really cool costumes mm-hmm. and done in the past, gotten a lot of really good pictures taken of it. So it's like almost like a portfolio of like, hey, I know how to make stuff. And there have been judges from the industry as well, like the TV and movie industry. Sometimes they'll do celebrity judges.
Oh, yeah.
Emerald City Comic Con usually has one person from Weta every year. Yeah. Because Weta Workshop has a booth there. And it's usually like, you know, a painter or a fabricator, not necessarily a cosplayer, but a maker.
Yeah, so, someone who understands that the cosplayer was trying to hit this mark, and they can judge whether or not they came close.
And a smaller convention, and you've been approached about this before, they may just ask you to judge the costume contest, to not be a guest.
Oh, yeah.
So if you that's another good way to start becoming a judge, is to not have all the responsibilities of, like, panels and booths.
Yeah.
But and they sometimes don't charge. There's like, yep. Hey, we need people to judge a costume contest. You in. And we might give you a badge that one day so mm-hmm. you can get into it.
Which I did that. A couple of years ago, I judged the costume contest for SakuraCon, our local big anime convention. And I asked them, too. I was like, look, I would be happy to be a guest if you could get me a booth. That's all I asked for. And they said, no, the vendor hall is all full. We can't get you a booth. I was like, all right, I'll judge the costume contest. I think I asked for a little bit of money, but I came in on Saturday. I didn't even wear a costume. I just did the costume contest judging. I think I even went home between the judging, the pre-judging, and I came back, and I did the stage thing, and then I went home again. Which is fine. Like, I made a little bit of money. I got to help out the convention. It worked out okay. One of the biggest things you can do, and we kind of mentioned this earlier, but just make sure if you have any questions especially before you fly somewhere, that everything is written down ahead of time.
Yeah.
So a couple of big things you want to know especially before you fly somewhere. When you land, how are you getting to the hotel? Have they arranged a ride for you? Are you paying for that? Are they paying for it? When you get there, if you have questions, do you have a phone number of a person who works for the convention that you can call at any time if you have problems with anything? So, for example, one time I got to the convention, they had a ride for me. I got to the hotel. It was very late. And when I went to get my room, which they had paid for, they didn't have the front desk didn't have the right information. So I called the contact who was already in the hotel. She came downstairs, settled everything. I got my room. It was awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
If you don't have a phone number to call and you're at a strange hotel in, I believe this was actually in Austin, Texas. You're like, what do I do? What do I do? Mm-hmm. You gotta have a contact at the very least. So that way, if things weren't perfect in writing or perfectly sussed out, you know, you have someone you can call. Yeah.
Also a ride back to the airport.
Yes. Yeah. Which I've done. I've had some bad experiences.
Yeah. Figure that all out before you get on the plane.
Yeah. Figure out when you're going to fly in and out, what time you have to wake up in the morning. Like, these are all things to be mm-hmm. considered.
Yeah. They'll usually book your flight for you. But that's something you can also request in your contract with them. You can be like, give me a certain amount of money, I'll get my own flights. Because that way you can get, you know, ones that would work better for your schedule.
Right.
Or if they're going to book your flights, give them hard times about when you can fly mm-hmm. in and out. So you don't have to leave at like 5 a.m. or
which I've done.
1 a.m. or something.
All right. Let's jump into another thing here. Let's talk about guest etiquette. So you You got a good rapport. You talk to them. You've all agreed on what you're gonna do. You get to the convention. How's everything going down? Here's a couple of things that you want to keep in mind if you're a guest at a convention. And even if you're just an attendee or an attending professional, especially if you have something you're trying to accomplish, these are all good things to keep in mind. One, especially if you're a guest, you are working for the convention from the time it opens until the time it closes, which means get there early and stay a little late. And anything you can do to help the convention work better, do it. Even if the convention isn't holding up their end of the bargain.
Yeah, and if there's any reason you can't get in on time, let your contact know.
Yeah.
Just
keep communication going.
Yeah, it is really about communication. This is all if you want to be a guest again.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
These are things like...
There are lots of people who have been a guest at a convention once.
Yeah, and they like... They show up on, like, Friday and are like, this isn't for me, and then they leave.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you just burned all your bridges.
Yeah. A lot of people will... So let's say I don't need to... I'm not worried about my business. I have a day job. But a convention's like, hey, you could be a judge on our costume contest. And we'll fly out. And you're like, that sounds like fun. Some of my friends are going to be there. That's cool. So you go there. You work during the day. And in the evening, you're like, I'm here now, and I'm going to go hang out with my friends. That's awesome. That's a huge perk. I know when I'm a guest and I'm working there, usually I'll go get dinner with my friends, but after that, I go to bed.
We're usually pretty exhausted anyway.
Yeah, you're going to be pooped.
Yeah, because conventions are usually open for more than 8 hours.
Yeah.
It's usually 12.
Oh, yeah.
And
so, like, 10 a.m. to, like, 7 p.m.
It's a long work day.
Is a pretty normal day.
So don't go out to the rave late at night.
Yeah, yeah. Don't be hungover. All right, I cannot stress this enough. If you're a guest at a convention, don't go nuts on Friday and be hungover on Saturday, the longest day of the convention. That will be the longest day of your life. So everything within reason. Yes, you can go out and have a good time. A lot of your friends are going to be there. It's going to be fun. But remember why you're really there. Being on time is huge. Huge. I will. We're always really good about that. Britt keeps us in schedule. It's really frustrating to go to the cosplay area of a convention where my booth is and set up my booth early and sit there. And there's half a dozen other cosplay booths, and half of them are vacant because the people who were guests got there late. It's really frustrating because it makes everyone else look bad.
Yeah, and it's just it makes the aisle look empty.
Yeah.
Like, and there are people who come in right when the convention opens. May mm-hmm. not be a lot, but there are people there.
Nope. So that's a huge thing. And then you're going to spend a lot of time near those other booths, so make friends. Be friendly to everyone. I mean,
yeah, it's good to have each other's backs, but also it's just a great way to meet people.
Yeah, or if I'm at a booth by myself, which I prefer not, but sometimes that happens, I'm there by myself and I need to pee, and I can turn to the booth next to me and be like, yo, can you keep an eye on my booth while I go use the bathroom for like 5 minutes? They're like, cool, yeah, no problem. And then later on, they may be like, hey, can you watch my booth? And you're like, yeah, I can do that.
And it's possible that some of those other cosplay guests are also judging the costume contest with you. So one thing to consider is to always, if you're not at your booth, always have a little sign saying why you're not there. Because there's always going to be someone showing up, being like, hey, where are they? So like, if you are judging the costume contest, do a little handwritten sign, put it there saying where you are. If you're doing a panel, put a little thing there saying where your panel is.
That's an awesome, awesome idea. So if you're not there, explain your absence. And then maybe those people will see your booth and be like, oh, crap, there's a panel going on right now. And they'll go over and watch your panel.
Yeah, totally. And just to explain why you're not there. And we don't have a lot of standing displays for our booth. So if we do have to step away, we can just put the books like underneath in a bin and like lock that and close everything down so we don't have to leave things out.
Right.
I know, I think with Steve, he usually has his wife work the convention with him, so they never leave the booth unattended.
Mm-hmm.
That's something to consider too, is to, when you're applying for a convention, you can include an assistant.
Yep.
Like, you can even try and get their, like, everything covered, like, their own.
Which is when we do conventions now, usually, we ask for flights for both of us and one hotel room. We're married, so we can share a hotel room. But two beds.
Yeah. It is possible too if it's a convention where you know there's going to be people, there's going to be people there that you know. You can hire one of them to work at your booth. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, you want to, like, and it's usually just like one day out of the convention thing. Like, hey, you want to work on Friday, and then you can have a different friend work on Saturday. And that way you have someone at your booth with you. Mm-hmm. That is something to consider.
We could do, and probably should do, a whole episode just on doing booth stuff at a convention.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. So there's that. And the last thing about guest etiquette I want to talk about is the green room. Now, if you're a guest, they may have their own policies, but in my opinion, if they're flying me to be there, if I'm a guest, I should have access to the green room. That's kind of the thing. It doesn't matter how popular or famous you are. That is a place for you to get away from the crowd, and there's usually water and snacks and a bathroom.
And coffee.
And coffee, very important. Just so you can go and get away. It's not about like, oh, I want to go to the green room so that I can say hi to Carl Urban.
Sometimes they have tiered green rooms.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes I go to the green room and I'm like, I don't think this is the real green room. Yeah.
And that's fine. It could be celebrities, they have agents and they have certain requirements about like, hey, it has to be like an exclusive green room for only like A-list celebrities or something.
Right. Or they may want their own room.
Right, their very own room.
You, as a cosplay guest, you're probably not going to get that. No. But that's fine. But really, you just want a place away from the convention. If you do find that you're in the green room with all the celebrities, be cool. You are representing all cosplay guests when you are interacting with other guests at a convention, especially B or higher list celebrities, let's say.
It's not the time to be a fan in the green room.
It's not a time to fanboy out.
Right.
You can be a fan in a very low-key way.
Yeah, it's so tricky, though, because, like, they're using the green room to get away. They have their phone out. They might even have headphones in. They're just like, they want to be left alone. Yeah. You don't want to creep up to them with your phone and be like, hey, can we take a selfie? No, they'll probably be pretty accommodating, but that's like the one time that they can
pretty
get away
sure
from
selfies
it.
Pretty sure selfies in the green room is a no-no across the board.
Yeah, that's what I would say, too.
But you also kind of want to be cool, right?
Yeah.
Like if, like we were getting picked up to go to the convention from the hotel, and they're like, oh, you're going to ride with, why can't I remember his name?
Are you talking about Carl Urban? Kevin Sorbo?
Kevin Sorbo. Oh, you guys are going to ride with Kevin. And I was like, oh, Kevin, what up, buddy? Cool. He's like, yo, I'm Kevin. I'm like, hey, I'm Bill. I wasn't like, oh, my God, it's Hercules. That's what I was like on the inside. But outside voice said, hey, I dig your stuff. I didn't say that. I was just like, yo.
I didn't think we said.
Shook his hand.
I don't even think we said that we liked his stuff. We just said hello.
I think it's implied, everyone, it's Hercules.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, it's just funny how he was said, hi, I'm Kevin. And
hi, I'm Kevin. We're like, oh, I know. Yeah.
But yeah, it's.
Just be cool. If you can't think of something not awkward to say, then just like introduce yourself. Yeah. Oh, hi, I'm Bill. That's all it takes.
Yeah, and something rad is if you're in costume in the green room, they might approach you. Because, especially if that's the monotonous thing they do every week is go to a convention, that's, like, the highlight is seeing, like, costumes and different things. Like, we were in the car with the voice actor of Mario, and he was...
Super Mario.
He was sharing... pictures on his phone he took of cosplayers, and he just kept saying things like, look at all the work they put into this, and he just loves it. I mean, a lot of them were Nintendo related costumes, because those are the ones that were coming up to get his autograph and get a voice recording of him saying it's a me Mario into the phone.
And he was for it.
He was like really into it.
You would think some celebrities would just would be so done with that. Apparently the guy who played Biff from Back to the Future just had cards, and when people were like, oh my god, it's Biff, he would just hand him, he wouldn't say anything, hand him a card, and the card was like, hey, I was in that movie 30 years ago, please leave me alone.
Oh my god.
Yeah, he was not, I guess he's turned around on that, but for a long time he was like just so over Back to the Future.
That's something talking about guest etiquette is like, I mean, it helps to already be a nice, helpful, considerate person, but that's also, like, the persona you should have at a convention. No matter how tired you are, how sick you are, and, like, how fed up you are of things that are going on. Because, like, someone walking by, it could be their first time interacting with you, and they could take away this negative experience. Like, this whole Biff thing, it's like, I instantly don't like the actor now because of that. Like, I'm like, that's such a bummer that he would do that. But, like, that's the kind of thing that could spread like wildfire. Mm-hmm. So, like, always just being, like, positive and upbeat and happy as much as you can. And if there's any reason why you can't, like, if you're having some sort of distress and need to peace out, just be very clear about why. It's like, no, it's not you, it's me. Gotta go.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Let's see. Darth Marcus is apologizing because he was excited when he met us. Marcus, you come up and give me a big old hug.
No, that's... Excitement's fine, not in the green room.
Yeah, not in the green room.
Like, that's...
But just Marcus.
It's part of the reason we're there.
I'm only accepting hugs from Marcus. Paige just pointed out that Jessica Negri is a champion of the positive con experience. Absolutely. I mean, you may find, too, that you... So, obviously, I'm, like, a pretty cheery person just about all the time. That doesn't mean I don't have my limits. So, we're going to talk about a couple of convention stories here to cap this off. And I'll start with Manila in the Philippines, which overall was just an astonishing experience. But it was very overwhelming. So, the first day we got there, it was dead. Friday, open, dead. And there were a lot of us there. A lot of other cosplay guests just hanging out. And we're like, is it going to be like this all weekend?
Yeah,
and then an hour later, an ocean of human bodies, just people everywhere. And it didn't let up all day. For 12 hours, I was at the convention at my booth. And someone was like, hey, we've got these pamphlets with all the guests in it. I'll just have every guest sign it. Someone started doing that, and then everyone did it. So no joke, I sat at my booth signing the flyer for the program for like 7 straight hours to people who had no idea who I was. It was the thing to do.
Catch them all kind of thing.
Yeah, and you want to be the guy who's like, yeah, this is great, this is totally great. But after a while, I started to get a massive headache, just like the kind of headache that makes you want to curl into a ball and die. And I excused myself. There was still a line; it was not stopping. I had to excuse myself. I went to the green room, I took some Excedrin, I drank a bunch of water, and I sat there for half an hour. I just took that time off. And I can totally understand someone who is a totally cheerful, awesome, wonderful person snapping because it was when people were handing the thing to me to sign and they didn't even say anything. They were just like insisting that I sign it. And I was like, my head was killing me and I was like this close to snapping. And I was like, whoop, four, I get arrested in the Philippines. Let's just take a break.
That goes for being in costume, too. Like, on paper, a convention might think it's a great idea for you to be in costume the entire day.
Yeah.
And it's like, it depends on the costume. Casual costume, a lot easier to wear. If you're in full armor that whole time, that's asking a lot.
That is asking a lot.
And that's something you want to consider, too, is to not be in that kind of situation where you pass out. Because that would be the worst.
So I brought up that story because Paige mentioned Jessica Negri. If I think I had a big line. Every convention she goes to has a line around the booth from open to close.
Yeah.
And somehow she stays with it and doesn't snap ever.
Yeah, she's so positive and happy
all the time. I want you guys to appreciate the kind of human being it takes to pull that off. Most mortals would just crack. But she somehow has it in her to stay. I mean, I think she just is that person always anyway. It's not like she's putting on an act. But most people have their limits. I have my limits, and she's got a higher limit, I think. So that was what... I think that was my first... No, that was my second international convention. The first one was London Super Comic Con. Again, really fun across the board. Super, super fun. If you're a guest at a convention that is overseas, and you want to sell stuff there, know that you're now dealing with international selling rules. And there's some stuff you can get away with. There's other stuff you can't get away with. Just know that. If you're importing a ton of merchandise to sell to another country, they're going to have some things to say about that. So as you're flying in at customs, if you tell them, which I did, that you plan on selling a bunch of stuff, they will be upset and potentially won't let you into the country. Fortunately, they pitied me. I was honest. I was dumb, but I was honest.
You also didn't have that much stuff.
Although I did sell every single book I brought. just that's something to be aware of. If you're bringing stuff into another country and you're gonna sell it, you're gonna potentially run into problems.
And that's something you can ask the convention too when you're starting to think about signing a contract with them, to be like, hey, if I bring stuff to sell, can I do that? Like, how do I get it there? Like, what's the best policy for that?
And they're just probably gonna say like, that's your problem.
Yeah.
You have to, but you might also say like, look, this is an international convention. I can't get a work visa. I can't get whatever I need to be able to legally do that.
That's what I was wondering. I wonder if there's some like little temporary thing that exists.
There
like,
might
that's
be.
Something I've never asked.
You
about.
Would have to do the work yourself. But you could also tell the convention like, look, I can't bring all my books to this convention. It's just not feasible. So I don't need a booth. Just pay me a day rate. They'll probably say no to that. But that might mean you can't go.
Yeah, so we've only tried to take stuff to sell to one international convention.
Yeah.
So that's something that is not our expertise.
Yeah, when I went to Manila, I brought a couple of posters, just some small things I could have. They paid me a day rate, which was awesome. So I didn't feel like I was losing out by not selling a bunch of books. And it was also a free trip to the Philippines, which was kind of cool. Ah, this fly, man! Ah!
It landed on the mic, and I thought about hitting it, but I was like, then that's, yeah. That's when I break the mic.
Well, we're going to dive into just a couple more stories here, but Prop Tarts in the chat, if you have any more questions, please let us know. Just tag @punishprops, and I'll see it. What's another? I'll tell you about a bad experience. How about that? That'll be fun. I'm not going to say what convention it was. It's not around anymore. I believe they only did it for a couple of years anyway. I'm going to get this fly.
Oh, jeez. Oh, you got away, and now you're
apparently it's invincible. So I got asked to go to a convention. I mostly went because many of my friends were there, and I thought it'd be great to go see them. It wasn't very far away. I had asked for flights, hotel, a very reasonable day rate, like a stupid low amount. Really, I just wanted to make sure my food and stuff was all covered. The problems were a couple things. They automatically signed me up to do paid photo ops, and I got to tell you, no one has ever paid for a photo with this mug.
Also, Bill didn't sign a contract.
No, I didn't. I didn't say I went along with it because I didn't want to upset the dude. I sat in the photo booth room for 15 minutes and no one showed up.
But it's one of those things.
Things you want to consider.
Yeah, you're going to a convention. All of a sudden, this thing pops up on their website saying that there's paid photo ops, and they never talked to Bill about it at all.
Yeah, yeah, that wasn't in the communication they had with me going into it. It sounded like a lot of the other guests who were my friends had very different expectations, which was a problem. What else went wrong? I had an okay time at the convention. The actual convention itself wasn't horrible. It was kind of slow. I didn't sell a lot of stuff. I got to hang out with my friends, which was nice. But I was working. You know, when you're doing the convention, you're working. And so were they. Like, I was next to Ivy Doom Kitty. We're pals. We chatted a little bit, but we're both working. And it was so sparse. As soon as one person came by, we were all like piranhas. We're like, do you think that guy wants a book? Does he want a book or a print? Oh, he's going over to Ivy's. He doesn't want a book. Okay, he wants a print. Got it. So it was, the actual convention itself was just kind of fine. The weird expectations. The main problem was I left the convention and went home before getting paid, which meant I never got paid.
Also, that was the hotel issue convention too,
wasn't it?
When you were checking out.
My flight leaving was at 6 a.m., which meant I had to get up. I had to be at the airport by like 4 a.m., which meant I had to get up at like 3:45. And when I was checking out, the clerk was like, yo, hey, you added an extra night, so I just put that on your card. I gave them my credit card for incidentals, like you do in a hotel, and they charged me another night for the hotel. And I was like, no, the convention was covering that. And he's like, no, they didn't. You're paying for it. And I couldn't leave without settling my bill. So I just paid it, and I invoiced the convention, and they never got back to me.
Yeah, that convention closed down and never did another year. So
yeah.
That's something to consider as well, is it's possible if it's a brand new convention and they're promising you things, they might not deliver.
Yeah, so, and I never signed a contract with them. So I don't think legally I could have done anything, and the amount was so little that it wouldn't have been worth fighting over.
Yeah, it was definitely like all the advice we're giving in this episode is stuff that we've learned probably the hard way.
Yeah.
So it's things that we wouldn't do again, but that's just something that did happen. Yeah. I just can't imagine, like, because they didn't make any money, and like the celebrity guests that they had were probably very upset. And they probably took all the extra money, and nothing was left for...
Yeah, I think John Cena made out. He was the only person that made out. Yeah. He probably had a guarantee. Yeah. Oh, that's something else you can ask for, too. If maybe you don't have a day rate, but you can have a guarantee. So you can say, I have a booth. I want to make... I'm planning on making X amount. If I make below that, the convention has to cover it. Again, it's rare that they'll agree to that, but for some people, can get that.
I think that's more standard for the...
celebrity guests.
World-renowned celebrity guests. Yeah, so like if they're a known celebrity, they're expecting to sell a lot of prints with signatures on them and stuff, or photo ops, and they have to have that guarantee. They can't go somewhere for 4 days and not get paid that week.
Right, right. In the chat, someone said, the Neatster says, between the two of you, who likes judging costume contests more? Britt doesn't like doing it at all. I'm for it. So, so that's another thing. Now when people... invite Punish Props to a convention, it's a package deal. Generally, you get both of us, but it's specifically, I judge the costume contest, Britt will do panels, or panels with me, usually the two of us, but Britt has no desire to judge the costume contest, so that's usually a stipulation.
Yeah, it's the costume contest I used to help Bill judge every year. We turned into a fashion show. Yep. And that's the only one I still do. And I give everyone an award that's in it. There's only like 50 people. So.
Right. It's a small convention. There aren't exactly like giant prizes or anything. We just like to have a good time. That is the end of my notes. Is there anything else you wanted to cover, Britt? Or do you think we just destroyed it?
I like to talk about some really cool experiences.
Oh, good experience. Let's end on a good note. And we're still reading, so if you have questions, drop them in the chat.
When we were at South Texas Comic Con, it was so cool to see how... well, the community knew each other. Like, it was like, that's like their convention. Like, there's nothing else around. This is like in southern Texas land.
McAllen, Texas.
Yeah, and like, they had like their in-jokes. They had this reoccurring guy who would show up every year who dressed as a chicken, but it would always be themed. So it would always be a crossover with something to do with the word chicken or the word cluck or something. Yeah. And like, but everyone knew him. Like, and they all knew each other. They were super into Dragon Ball and also into wrestling.
And the voice actor for Vegeta stole our ketchup.
Yeah. There was a lot of Dragon Ball voice actors there.
We were having dinner at the hotel, and we found this, like, draped away air is sort of secluded table, and the curtains parted, and he poked his head in and looked around and went, burp, and ran off with our ketchup.
But it was just wonderful to see, like, a small convention with so much personality.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't expecting it. I was expecting it to be just, like, you know, like a mini Emerald City Comic Con, but it was a lot of character. Everyone was super nice. We met Dan Cakes there.
Dan Cakes. We met a lot of fun people there.
Yeah.
We got a quick question. It's a Trap says, have you had to deal with many upset people after the costume contest? Generally, no. I will say that in London, the costume contest, in conventions that are not in the United States, there's usually more of your score counts towards your performance. Right. They had a whole performance.
Yeah, you actually have to do a performance on stage.
And the people who were competing at London Super Comic Con, they all knew one another, even though they're from all over Europe, and they were committed. And that convention, more than others, people who didn't win approached me after the convention in a very nice manner, just looking for feedback, asking for ways that they could improve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, constructive criticism kind of things. Which is interesting. It's hard. Like, we can talk about that more in a judging specific episode. But it's hard to find a good time to approach the judges to do that, because usually at the end of the contest they're exhausted. You're exhausted.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, like, just like any other contest, if your friends don't win, you might be a little hurt about it. So like, there's always going to be talk, no matter who ends up winning.
But the good news is, if you're the judge, you've got a panel of judges and you've all conferred. So if someone says, "Why didn't I win?" you can say, "Look, we had four people trying to figure all this out.
Yeah.
It wasn't easy.
That's important.
But that's what we came up with."
Yeah, and it never is easy. And that's one of the reasons I don't like doing it, because I think they're all great. And everyone worked really hard and everyone.
But like I judged TwitchCon, and it was like, well, me and Holly Conrad and Yaya Han all figured it out, and we're all very confident in the results. Yeah. Another question, Star Wolf Studios wants to know if this episode will be on YouTube. It will be on our second channel, Punished Props Extras. If you look that up, that's where these get posted. Monty Blind Faith is entering his first group cosplay contest. They're doing a two-minute skit. Any tips from a judge's perspective? One tip I will give with a performance. Performances are hard. You don't have a lot of time. In those 2 minutes, you need to make your audience feel something. You need to pull an emotion out of them. That might be funny. People might think it's funny. It might be dramatic, and it might be sad. It
might be surprising.
Might be surprised. Like, figure out the emotion you're trying to get.
Because that's the kind of, like, in America, the contests are usually just what you're wearing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
There's
craftsmanship.
Craftsmanship, which has been pre-decided by prejudging. And so you go on stage, and it usually doesn't matter what the audience does, how they react to your costume. But performances, it does.
Yeah.
That can totally affect what the judges think if the crowd does something.
Right, so practice your performance. Get an impartial observer to watch it while you're practicing and ask them, did you feel it? Did our performance make you feel anything?
And if it's a kind of performance where you're submitting music, try not to do anything with lip syncing.
Yeah, it's so hard to do that
it's very hard to do it well. I'm sure it can be done well, but it's best to just
Definitely don't do that unless you're wicked good at it. Nerds and Makers, side note, how are you connected to Tested? I'm buddies with everyone at Tested, and I work with them on a regular occasion. In fact, I'll be flying down there later this month to film more videos with them. Let's see if we have a couple more. Let's see here. One more. Another Tested related one. What was it like meeting Adam Savage for the first time? Surprising. I was wearing my Commander Shepard outfit. I was backstage at Woodstock. I had just run into Patrick Rothfuss and Will Wheaton and Alton Brown. And I walked around the corner and Adam looked up and goes, "Oh, hey, Bill." And I was like, "He knows my name." So that's about it.
I think it helped that you were in costume.
It did help.
It gives you something to talk about if there's any kind of conversation.
Adam is amazing. He's one of the most amazing human beings I've ever met. I think that's just about it. Let's do one more. With cons constantly changing the rules on props and materials, what sort of decision-making process goes into your head when deciding on props and cosplays to bring? This is from the Natesters. We usually make our convention props out of foam. They're all EVA foam. We have our more showpiece type things, resin cast parts or 3D printed things, but it's hard to go wrong with foam. It might not be the most highly detailed prop you could get, but if you're just going to be using it at a convention, it's the best way to go. If you're in the costume contest and you're trying to impress judges, that's when you want to bring your showpiece item. You may or may not be able to get that in the door, though.
Yeah,
depending on the rules.
And that's the kind of thing you'll want to ask the convention ahead of time.
Yeah. As a costume contest participant.
Right. Well, also, so if it's a convention that isn't allowing any props at all for cosplayers, you want to ask if you have a booth, if it's okay to do display props that aren't used for costume that stay at the booth. Because, I mean, that's a kind of convention that sometimes will have metal swords for sale. And,
right,
and, like, you buy the sword and they say, you have to take this to your car right now because it's not allowed at the convention, but you can buy it there. So, like, at your booth, you may be able to still have that stuff. You want to make sure to ask ahead of time.
All right. That is it. Good job, teammate. Thank you, Prop Tarch, for your fantastic questions. You guys are awesome. That's going to wrap it up for us today. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with another podcast live from the office. But we will also be live streaming from the shop next week at the same time. I don't know what we're going to work on, but I'm sure we'll find something really cool. That's it. Thanks again, and we'll see you guys in the next one.
See you guys.